We're so thankful. We're going to be referring to some of those words as we go through our message this morning, and we're thankful for it. Thankful that the arrow has disappeared. That's good. We don't have to chase that around on the screen. And we're looking at how all of creation proclaims the wonder and beauty of its Maker. And that was the theme of what they were singing as they said, "Who says you're invisible? You're visible to me. I see you all around." Now, we are entering into this message this morning in a moment before Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday will come on February 18th. You'll see that in Guam because it's a Catholic place. It often, they serve special foods then. Many people will show up with ashes on their forehead. But Ash Wednesday begins a period of Lent, which in the church is an approach to Holy Week. It's to help us remember that we culminate our whole church year in Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Holy Week, of course, encompasses Palm Sunday, celebration of everyone as Jesus entered Jerusalem. Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper with his disciples in the upper room. Good Friday, remembering Jesus taken to the cross and crucified and died there. And then culminating in Easter Sunday. So that's happening in a couple of weeks, and we'll have kind of a Lenten theme. But now, in between, it's good to remember how God is communicating to us through the wonder of the planet Earth. The wonder of the planet Earth. And we're going to spend a few moments thinking about that this morning. There are miracles all around the world. And the children sang about that, and here it is. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. So there you are. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2. We're going to refer to that a number of times. You know, and here we see it in the beauty of the sky itself, a sunrise, sunset. Here the beauty of the starry sky at night and the beauty of the earth, the planet Earth, with dressed in flowers. And we love that. We love the dressing of the flowers. In fact, there isn't a wedding that takes place that doesn't have flowers featured. We have funerals, and we bring flowers to remember those who died. We love them. We dress them around our house. We put them in our gardens. They are beautiful, and they testify to us about God. Now, there are miracles in the wonder of the planet Earth, and one of them is the atmosphere. There are all these layers to the atmosphere, five of them. A troposphere, stratosphere, mesosphere, thermosphere, and exosphere, all the way up to the top. If you remember when the space shuttle used to fly into space, when it returned, it had to have all the right tiles on the bottom because as it tried to enter the atmosphere, it heated up. And the atmosphere is very thick, very robust, it's very profound, and it protects planet Earth and is the barrier between us and interplanetary space. It's a miracle. And then there's just this presence of the atmosphere protecting us from the storms, from the solar storms of the sun. And in addition, you have electromagnetic fields on the Earth, which guide your compass, show you to the north, the south. And there, this whole electrical magnetic field around the Earth, we can't see it, but it's very present. It's part of the miracle of the Earth. There is gravity, which holds you to this Earth. It provides this pull. Center of the Earth pulls things in and holds the moon in orbit around and holds us to, so we stand here. There's a gravitational force which makes things go upright. It's really a fundamental part of how we live. And then there are ocean currents all around the Earth, all around the island of Guam, throughout the Pacific, around the Atlantic, through the Indian Ocean. There are currents of the ocean that transfer cold water into warm water into cold water and affect our planet in such profound ways. And then there's not only that, there are also wind patterns or patterns in the atmosphere of, like, for example, the polar vortex, which is affecting North America, making everyone very, very cold over there. Even affecting Atlanta, where Andrew is, I think. I don't know how cold he is, but it's far worse where my family lives up in Michigan. It's been 10 degrees or minus 5, or it's going to get down to minus 10. Very, very chilly. And then there's the jet stream. If you fly one direction in the jet stream, you go faster. If you fly the other way, it's slower. That's just the way it is. It's jet stream, and that's affecting weather patterns, and this force is just going around the Earth in the atmosphere. It's amazing. And then not only do you have that in the atmosphere, you have the water cycle. The water cycle itself is a wonder of God, because you have all these features of it. You know, it evaporates from the ocean, it condenses into clouds, and then it gets transported by the currents of the winds and everything towards higher land, where it falls as precipitation. And if it's mountainous, there's a lot of precipitation on one side. If you go to Washington or Oregon or California, there's a lot of moisture coming as these weather patterns hit the mountains, and all of it comes down, and then it runs off and goes into the water cycle. In the eastern parts of Washington, Oregon, and California are dry. Most of the states are dry. They're not wet and green. But then runoff funds into lakes, and there you infiltration into the groundwater, and there's groundwater flow. Plants take up water, and they transpire into the atmosphere. It's a fantastic and amazing cycle of water, which makes life possible on planet Earth. We are mostly water. We're made of water. So that's speaking to us. And then that is just those parts of creation. Then you have the amazing diversity of animals, which speak to us as well. Mammals such as the lion, the blue whale, and the kitten. I like the cat in there. And then the birds, an owl, a duck, a lark, or a sparrow. You have alligators, cobras, and lizards, frogs, fish, butterflies, and creeping cockroaches, which are very big around here in this island. The diversity and the type and the way that each of them are constructed in amazing ways, you get into the detail of any of these animals, they are a wonder to behold in them, in and of themselves, the way they adapt to their environment, the way they're equipped to live and move and fly or crawl or, you know, walk or whatever they do. They all speak of the mind of the Maker, that God so carefully has designed the earth and the creatures in it. The mind of the Maker is there to be discovered in the world, the earth in which we live. And the earth speaks, and the creation, the nature speaks to the beauty of God. God's sense of beauty, God's sense of marvelous wonder. And he delights in the colors. He delights in the design. He delights in the patterns. That's God loves beauty. And there are wonders in this, which we are amazed at, God of wonders. The wonders of creation, of conscience, which is in the human being to make them aware of good and evil. And all of it points to the glory of God. God is truly not invisible. We see the invisible God, which is what the children were singing. Who says you're invisible? I see you all around. God is seen in the miracles of nature. God is seen in each wonderful creature. Again, I had to feature the cat and the ugliest dog you probably have ever seen, but it has its own attraction for many people. But these are marvelous parts of God's creation. They speak to us of this, that Isaiah 40, verse 28, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. I know that Stephen Hawking was famous for being a brilliant scientist. He had a brilliant mind, and he wrote books, but they said he was at one point searching for the mind of God. He felt he could maybe, with human understanding, encompass all of the universe, come up with a solution for it, or some kind of mathematical principle to explain it all. Finally, he was unsuccessful. He suffered a tragic and terrible disability, and that was sad in its own right. Lost the ability to speak. He used a computer to speak, but he also has died and passed on. But God is still beyond our final comprehension. Even if we develop a supercomputer, it in itself can't get close to plumbing the depths of who God is as a creator of the earth. Let us pray a moment, and we'll read a couple of passages in Job and Psalm 19. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, which testifies to us of your wonder, of the wonder of creation. You begin the book of the Bible with Genesis 1, where you create the heavens and the earth, and you populate it with all of the living creatures, and you make it breathe, as Genesis 2 says. You knelt down and you shaped us and molded us, and you breathed the breath of life into us, Lord. Without that, we would not be here. We thank you that we can explore and be profoundly moved by the wonder of your creation, Lord, of the fact that we can see you in the starry sky and know about you on the snowy ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Job 12, 7 to 10. It's a wonderful passage. It's marvelous in what it talks about in terms of having creation speak to us. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. Or the birds of the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Job chapter 12, 7 to 10. Then Psalm 19, 1 to 4. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. That is Psalm 19, the power of the speech coming from creation. The kids were singing, "Who says you're invisible?" We see the nature of God there in the beauty of the earth. The nature of God is revealed, and we call it, actually, if you want to get into the catechism, general revelation. The Bible is called special revelation because it's written, but general revelation is given to us all that we may know the power and beauty of God, the wonder of his name and his goodness in making this planet Earth. The nature of God is visible to us in creation, in the lion, one of the symbols of God in the Chronicles of Narnia. I'm going to mention that a couple times. Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan is a lion, and he's representing God. You know, that's not true of an actual lion, but it's a symbolic idea. But you can see how we see God all around. And in this message, we're going to explore some of the ways we see the nature of God as indicated by Scripture. But here we see him in the eagle, who's catching a fish out of the water. These are mighty and powerful creatures in the world, and we are inspired by them. The children said, "I see you in the starry sky," which is a marvel to behold. In the universe, we've got fantastic pictures of the universe from the Hubble telescope, and then it's been replaced by another one, I believe. This is just a picture of one of the galaxies out there, which has literally, probably, I don't know what the numbers are, millions of stars out there. There are untold numbers of galaxies like this. This is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy, which is ours, and our home, our planet Earth, is a speck in the middle of that marvelous structure in space. And so, as the kids were singing, We see you in the starry sky. And then they run on singing, I see you on the snowy ground. I see you in each tiny flower and in the tallest tree. I see you, God, because you're visible to me. And so there he is in nature. He is shown to us in the weather, in the form of springtime, when there are openings to new life. If you ever live in a snowy clime, you know the frozen ground of winter, you know the wonder and beauty. Japan is a little bit like that, because of course they have their cherry blossom time, which is fantastic. And cherry blossoms bloom all through the whole country. And, sorry, we just got knocked backwards, I don't know why. And then we see him in hot sunny days of verdant growth. In the summer things grow, and they grow bountifully. And then, still, in the fall you have the changing of the colors, the dropping of the leaves, the transition into the wintry time of winter. But all of that displays the beauty and profound loveliness of God. They say that there is no snowflake identical to another. And what is the fantastic reality of that? That God has created snowflakes, so they're individual. They form in a crystalline pattern, and if you look at one under a microscope, it's got a fantastic and beautiful structure. Or here we see God in the lush green of the jungle, because it doesn't change the seasons. But we see him, and I recall too clearly Typhoon Mawar, which wiped the green off of Guam. It was gone. It was brown. It looked like Michigan in November. All the leaves are gone. It was dead. And then all they said, oh, don't worry, the jungle will be back in a month. And it was. It started to flourish and be green within 3 months. It was all filling in quite a lot. But we see God in all of these places. We see God in the relation, in the marvel of creatures. It was saying again, the kids were singing in their second verse, who says, you're invisible, I see you everywhere. I see you in the gentle lamb. And I see you in the mighty bear, a grizzly bear, one of the most mightiest creatures on the planet Earth. Or I see you in the blue whales of the ocean. This is the largest creature on the planet Earth. This picture doesn't do justice to it. It's a massive, massive creature which swims through the ocean as though there is nothing to it. In the vast expanse of the deep blue sea, and then all the creatures who dwell therein, which if you can see in their profuse beauty just by snorkeling here around Guam or going to any of the reefs anywhere in the world. We see God in all of these places. And then you see God in the relationships you have. The kids were singing, I see you in a hand reached out in friendship. I see you in a baby's smiling face. I see you when your people work together to make this world a better place. In the handshake, the touch, the way we touch hand to hand, in an embrace which we give to one another, and in the hand of encouragement placed on a shoulder, and much, much more. Job is a very cool passage, setting forth a most amazing conversation. Ask the animals, and they will teach you. Ask the birds, and they will speak. And I put up parrot going, Polly want a cracker. The most fun videos are these YouTubes where the parrot is speaking to some people in all kinds of conversations. But they will tell you, and you know the bird songs around the world as well. And it's like the land of Narnia, which again, C.S. Lewis and his Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe, you enter the land of Narnia through a wardrobe, and then there's a lantern, and then suddenly the animals are all talking to you. They're just talking to you, the badger and the deer and the lion and, you know, just all kinds of creatures talking to you. The Bible says, listen to them and have them speak to you. The earth can talk to you. the power of a waterfall, which you just get stunned by its amazing beauty, and it's you can't hear each other. If you ever go to Niagara Falls, which is a destination for a lot of people, you take the boat at the bottom and you go into the nearby the falls, you can't hear each other talk. The roar of the falls is just so powerful. The earth speaks to you. And if you listen carefully, you hear that it talks about the nature of God's power. And it talks about God's blessing on us and on the earth that we live in. Or you listen to the birds of the air. They will sing for you and tell you that God is a God of beauty and he's bringing blessings. And they are the ones who know who created it all. They know that they are creatures who belong to God the Creator. And then this wonderful verse, all creatures of our God and King. We should have sung this, but we didn't. You choose certain songs every Sunday. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. It's in number 63 of our celebration hymnal. Burning sun with golden beam, silver moon with softer gleam, praise him, oh praise him. Rushing wind that art so strong, clouds that sail in heaven along, praise him, praise him, the rising morn, praise him, ye lights of the evening, flowing water, making music for the Lord to hear. Alleluia, alleluia. It's a wonderful hymn to how God reveals himself, and he's not invisible. Life only exists, the wonder of being alive, because it's a gift from God. He made it so. It is a gift from God, an opportunity to know God in a personal way. Not sure who George Kaleha is, but I thought his quote is profound, and it talks about the purpose, why we are here on the planet Earth. It is an opportunity to know God in a personal way, and God is going to let us experience that. God initiated the idea of living organisms. Any breath you have is because God gave us oxygen to breathe and lungs to transform this invisible vapor so that our bodies can deliver it to our bloodstream. One of the things that Ed was experiencing was low oxygen count in GRMC, and they wanted to get the blood oxygen up because it's supposed to be 95. It was 85, and they got it up by taking the fluid out of his lungs, as Sybil was talking about. And it's a miracle of God that the breath that we breathe from the atmosphere makes us alive, makes our bodies oxygenated so we can live. God breathed life into us. So I want to consider five unique things that testify to God. This is why I want to return. The nature of God is seen, and I don't want to return, but I want to talk to you about the nature of the nose. The nose on your face, which you may think nothing about, but it's one of the amazing miracles of God, that you can, through your nose, smell and sense the world in which we live, the smell, the beautiful smell of flowers, the smell of foods, the smell of the earth, of the sea, of people, and so much more. And how does the nose actually work? What does it do for you, as for your body? Well, there's all the features of the nose. The nasal cavities are all part of you. It's very complex, really. There's a frontal sinus. There's a nasal bone. There's an ethmoid sinus, a maxillary sinus, cartilage, fibrofatty tissue, which is your nose, I guess, and then your nostrils. Now, what are they doing? Well, how does this work, this whole nasal reality, which starts in your nose? I don't want to go beyond that yet. Well, I'm going to tell you how it works. The nose and its structure is fundamental to breathing. You breathe. If you're, I've been in the dental chair, and she said, breathe through your nose, because, you can't breathe through your mouth. But it acts as a kind of an AC, an air conditioning, a filters or kind of a weather, you know, moderator. It filters, it warms and moistens the air that you breathe, your nasal passages. It also filters for immune defense. You know, part of your immune defense is the hairs in your nose and the things that it catches and prevents from going out. And the nasal feature of a human being adds resonance to your voice. We can sing and we can talk, and a very fundamental to that is the nose, and it really contributes to the enjoyment of life, the many amazing aromas we find and can experience through our nose. And then I'm going to do five things here. The second is consider the dolphin, an amazing creature with a torpedo-like body, inflexible neck. It has flippers and a powerful tail, making them incredible swimmers. And they are social and very intelligent, making them exceptional amongst our ocean creatures. They again testify to the goodness and majesty and power of God. And third, we'll return to the profound power of stars and galaxies, the incredible breadth and scope of the universe. Stars are dying, and stars are being born out there in the interstellar space. And what we see of it is spectacular, because these are pictures we've taken from space of things which are occurring in the natural world out there. And then I would like to return to gravity. Gravity is a fundamental invisible force of attraction, acting between all objects with mass or energy in the universe. Gravity pulls objects toward each other, and with strength proportional to their mass and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between them. Gravity is amazing. On Earth, it acts as a super glue, pulling items towards the planet's center. So that gravity, you stand there and you're held to the planet Earth, and it creates a connection between you and this planet, one of the wonders of God. And then finally, fifth is the sunflower. A sunflower has many fantastic features. It's subject to heliotropism, which means the flower will always follow the sun. It tracks the sun across the sky to maximize energy for growth, but mature blooming sunflowers stay fixed, usually facing east, to attract pollinators. It's an interesting feature. Some turn, some don't. There are environmental hyperaccumulators. They are used to clean up radioactive waste and toxic heavy metals like uranium and arsenic from soil and groundwater, a process called phytoremediation. Sunflowers do that. Wow. And then there's a composite flower structure. The flower is actually hundreds or thousands of tiny flowers, disc florets in the center, ray florets on the edge, designed to maximize seed production. Sunflower seeds. Who hasn't eaten sunflower seeds? And then, not only that, the seeds in the center are arranged in a Fibonacci structure. Fibonacci structure, which some may know better than me, maybe better mathematicians than I am. There's a 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13 pattern, allowing the most efficient packing of seeds into the space of that center circle of a sunflower. The sunflowers grow to immense heights. They can grow incredibly fast and tall, with record-breaking plants exceeding 30 feet in height. They're nutritional, and they can be used in industrial applications. Sunflowers are a versatile crop, providing edible seeds, nutrient-rich oil for cooking, and materials for industrial products like biofuel, and in some cases, soap. And they're very tolerant of drought. Sunflowers are hardy, able to withstand intense heat and dry conditions. Sunflowers, the fifth thing I was going to feature. And all of it reminds us of Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse, saying, this earth and the beautiful nature and creation is testifying that God is real, that we should pursue God, that we should find him, that we should seek him out. And of course, the greatest encounter with him is in his son Jesus. And as the kids were singing, let me remind you of the last verse. Who says you're invisible? I see you more and more. I see you in the miracles that stretch from shore to shore. I see you in the loving eyes of friends and family. I see you, God, you're visible to me. I see you, God, you're visible to me. Job 12, 9 and 10 said, which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. We encounter God in his absolute love for beauty, for whimsical features. There are things about creation that don't need to be there, but are done there as though it's an added flourish of God put to creation to make it just a wonder to behold. And God has carefully and precisely determined the features that help us survive and live and enjoy this amazing world. Who says you're invisible? Amen.